WOOC correspondent Willie Terry attended the James Conley Forum on Surveillance and Privacy in the Age of Facebook at the Oakwood Community Center on April 20th. He interviewed the forum's guest speaker, Yasha Levine, author of the book Surveillance Valley, which traces the history of the internet back to its beginning as a tool for spying.
My talk was connected to the book that I wrote called Surveillance Valley, The Secret Military History of the Internet. And some of the stuff that we were talking about was about how the scandals that we're hearing today about Facebook, about Cambridge Analytica, about the internet being used to spy on us and to influence us and to manipulate us, about how this is not something that happened recently, that surveillance and influence on the internet is not a recent development, but is actually something that goes back to the very beginning of the internet. It's a big reason for why the internet was developed by the Pentagon, going back to the 1960s, when the ARPANET, which was the first version of the internet, was deployed and developed. And so our talk was about a kind of forgotten history of the internet and forgotten history of the internet that deals with surveillance and with influence and control, and trying to bring back some of these forgotten episodes from a half century of history dealing with the internet.
Now, I do a program called Labor Talk, and
we're kind of concerned about the labor struggle.
What threat do you think the internet might have on organized labor struggles?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm not involved with organized labor, but I can understand probably and predict understand some of the issues. I mean, surveillance, obviously, by police, by companies who are watching you try to organize and try to talk to fellow workers. This is obviously poses a threat because the internet, especially social media, makes surveillance of people and their connections and what they're doing, where they're going, much easier. Especially if you have the police involved and they can get access to the company's underlying information about where you are at any time. If you have your cell phone in your pocket, your location can be tracked. If you look at just, you can probably find a, Google can probably see a labor meeting just by looking at their Android phone data, right? Just like, oh, you see all these phones in the same room. Wait, all these guys work for, you know, a certain company. Like, why are they all assembled after hours in a certain room? So there's a threat of surveillance, I imagine, that the internet allows much more easily. Of course, you know, internet and computer technologies in general pose a threat, just not just to organizing, but with labor in general, because it automates so much. It companies that invest in this technology, you know, they might shed jobs and things like that. I mean, what are some of the? I'm actually curious. So I'm going to throw it back to you. Like, what do people in labor think of some of the problems with the internet?
Well, I mean, labor. Do use strategy and tactics, you know, like rallies and stuff. Yes. And when they're doing that stuff, can their information be hacked in by the surveillance state?
Of course. Internet makes it easier to watch people. That's the whole point. And companies that we use, you know, Google, Apple, Facebook, their business model is built on spying on you, you know, surveilling you. And so there are a bunch of other companies that are built on top of this data that are pay for access to underlying, let's say, Facebook data or Twitter data. And they are able to build products that, for instance, you can allow a client to draw a square around a certain area and see, like, who is there and what are they tweeting about? What are they writing Facebook posts about? What kind of pictures are they posting? And they sell access to this kind of platforms to police departments, to corporations that are monitoring labor unrest. So, and I'm remembering, like, there was a company that was buying special access to Facebook and Twitter data that was specifically trying to sell its software to corporations that are worried about labor unrest, because they're like, hey, we have this technology that you can, if you can draw, you know, a square around, let's say your headquarters, right, and where there's a picket plant, and you can see exactly who's there, you can see exactly who they're, what they're tweeting about, you can see exactly where they're going, you know, what their plans are. And so it's selling surveillance services to companies to help them manage strikes and things like that. So it's very much a part of that. Again, surveillance is made much more easier by the internet because we carry a bug in our pocket.
Just a couple more questions.
Sure.
H.G. Wells wrote a book, you know, 1984, about the surveillance society.
Yes.
How would that look today, you know, based on what's happening today?
Well, because 1984 has, like, Big Brother, you know, has one centralized kind of, like, state, a centralized state. It was basically the Soviet Union for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So he saw the evil, the future of evil, as this big centralized brother, you know, who spied on you. You couldn't do anything without someone watching you. He was always telling you what to think. Now, that was the fear for the future, but the truth is how life evolved actually is not about Big Brother. It's about a bunch of little brothers. We don't have one guy telling us what to do. We have a bunch of little guys telling us what to do. We have our boss telling us what to do. We have the police department having us what to do. We have so it's distributed, and that makes it much harder to see the problem, because it's not just one guy in your face all the time telling you what to do. It's like actually much more distributed and built in part of the system. And you know, so you have, again, it's not one big brother that's surveilling you, it's a bunch of little brothers and little sisters, too, watching you. So that's the difference, I think, from what he predicted in that book.
Yeah, I want to end by just, now, I know your whole talk, you talked about a lot of things, but what is the one or two things you would like to say to the people who use the internet?
The internet is not your friend. Everything that you do on the internet is recorded and stored by private corporations. That information never goes away and can be accessed through a court order or by the NSA or the CIA using secret means, or it could be hacked at some point, and that data could be released. So that when you just realize that when you're on the internet, when you're carrying around your internet-connected phone in your pocket, every location that you go, every person that you actually interact with, you don't even have to write anything to them. All you have to do is just stand next to them. That's recorded. That's part of your permanent record. And it might not be used against you. You might not be doing anything wrong. You probably aren't doing anything wrong, but just that is what's happening. That is what the internet is built for. It's built for surveillance. And so we might not be able to do anything about it because we need our phone, you know, but just to be to understand that this is what this technology is all about. This is what this technology is for. Just do that. We are cognizant of it, not ignorant.
That was Yasha Levine, author of the book Surveillance Valley, who spoke last week at the James Connolly Forum at Oakwood Community Center.